All right, this evening we'll look at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and also chapter 3. In just some notes that James has for us on the setting of the book, again, this is a letter to the brethren at Thessalonica, and it was written to brethren that he got to know, that he converted on his second missionary journey. At least we see the reference in Acts chapter 17 to his stay of several weeks in Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 15, at the end of Acts chapter 15, Paul begins his second missionary journey, and he and Silas are traveling, and they pick up Timothy in chapter 16. And then in Acts chapter 17, they come to Thessalonica, and for three Sabbath days, the Apostle Paul teaches in the synagogue, and many were converted there. It says in verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But there was a persecution by the Jews who did not believe, that they were envious of Paul, and there was an assault made against the house of Jason here in Acts 17 verse 6. And they took Paul out of the city and they sent him on to Berea and then Athens. And then in chapter 18, verse 1 of Acts, it says, after those things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 1, part of our study this evening, he mentions there, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. So here is a reference, Athens, and here in Acts chapter 18, Corinth. And so in this time frame, it's believed that he wrote the book to the Thessalonians. And we'll talk more about Timothy departing from him as we go through the study. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll do just a little bit of review on the first two chapters. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul gives thanks to God always for these brethren, for their faith and labor and their hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. And Paul speaks of how that they were such a great example to the brethren here. And I believe, as we will see in our study, they are an example to us, and they were an example to Paul, and they uplifted Paul's spirits. These brethren, in Ben Walker's lesson last night on endurance, he mentioned in Hebrews 10 and 11 and 12 about the cloud of witnesses. All of these men of faith, people of faith, women of faith, in the book of Hebrews, that the writer refers to, that endured, especially Jesus, who endured the cross. And this evening we'll see the endurance of the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians would be someone that we want to meet. We see their great faith, and they are also an example, like those that we read of in the book of Hebrews, that endured affliction, endured persecution, but stood firm in their faith. In chapter 2, Paul reminds the Thessalonian brethren about his motives. He said in verse 4, he shows us he wanted to please God. And so he was entrusted with the gospel, and he wanted to faithfully relay that message to these brethren. Paul reminds the brethren in chapter 2 of his affection toward them, of his personal sacrifice for them. It says, he tells us that he worked with his hands night and day so that he wouldn't be chargeable to them. And he continued to give thanks for them because of their receptiveness to the gospel. It says in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So Paul gives thanks for their receptiveness toward the gospel. What I'd like to do this evening is, in the beginning, is just to simply read from verse 17 of chapter 2 on through chapter 3. And then we'll look at some questions about some of the sections in this reading. And then I've got a couple of applications that I want to look at for the for the main part of the lesson. Let's begin reading in verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, when we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. In this reading, again, what I'd like to do is just break it up into sections, paragraphs, and just ask some questions about these different paragraphs, and we'll go through it quickly, unless you've got some comment, and then what I would like to do again is get to some applications. And the two applications I'd like us to look at is, you know, we want to look at what this says, and then we want to look at what does it mean to us. Why did God preserve for us, for you and I, the book of 1 Thessalonians? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? And there's a couple of things I want us to look at. Number one, affliction, trouble, persecution. What is that? What do we gain from what they went through? And secondly, their faith. In this first section, in chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, what did God allow Satan to do in verse 18? And again, just going back over what we've read, just kind of getting in our mind, what is going on in these sections? What did God allow Satan to do? Okay, God allowed Satan to hinder Paul. And I say He allowed him to do that. If you jump down to chapter 3 and verse 11, now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. If it's God's will, He'll direct our way to you. But He allowed Satan to hinder them. What does verse 19 imply about these brethren? Chapter 2, verse 19. That they could be saved, right? It's just something that maybe just something that caught my attention. Here's Paul. He's rejoicing toward these brethren about how that they could be saved. And why that's important to understand is they went through a lot of persecution. They went through tribulation, trouble. People today, you know, we go through trouble and persecution, and we see brethren just leave the Lord. You know, I can't do it. I can't make it. Paul said, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? They can be saved. You can be saved. You're going through these tribulations, but you can be saved. You can come through it. In chapter 3, in the first five verses, of what in verses 3 and 4 had Paul made these brethren aware was part of their, I might say, their job description as a Christian? What had he made them aware was going to happen and be a part of their lives as a Christian? Tribulation. Verse 3 says, we are appointed therein too. We'll talk more about that. And I mentioned that what I'd like to do is look at some applications of affliction, persecution, and applications in regard to their faith, how that they bolstered Paul's faith, they encouraged him, and he encouraged them in turn. But if you have any other things that you'd like to bring out as we look through these verses, just comment on that. Raise your hand or shout out or something and make me aware that you want to comment on these passages. From verse 5, what could have been the case with these brethren but was not? What could have happened but didn't? In verse 5. They could have fallen. Persecution and trial and trouble can cause us to fall, as we know, but it doesn't have to. And these brethren are an example of those who endured and stood fast. Again, thinking about those in the book of Hebrews, they endured this cloud of witnesses. Here are some brethren. Here's a church that endured and stood fast. In chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, in verses 7 and 8, what do we see that these students, you might say, these followers of the Apostle Paul and of the Lord, what do we see that these students did for their teacher Paul in verses 7 and 8? What was that? Okay, he's confident in their ability to stand against Satan. And in fact, they did stand against Satan here. And it says, you know, when we look at this chapter 3, Paul is just biting at the bit to see these brethren. But again, Satan hindered him from going personally. But when he couldn't bear it any longer, he sent Timothy. And Timothy came and, you know, we see Timothy going and checking up on these brethren. Timothy comes back to the Apostle Paul and says, Paul, great news. They're standing fast. And here in verses 7 and 8, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. Here's, you think of what the Apostle Paul went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, all of the persecution and trouble that he went through for teaching the gospel. And even, what was it, in chapter 1, back in the book of Acts, here the house of Jason was persecuted, and Paul was, you know, ushered out of the city because of the persecution of the Jews. But Paul says, brethren, we were comforted. We were comforted. When Timothy brought the news that you're standing fast, we were comforted. In chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, what was God able to do for Paul in spite of Satan? Verse 11. He allowed Paul to he reached them through Timothy, and God could allow Paul to he could direct God could direct Paul's way to them. What was God able to do for these brethren in verses 12 and 13? These brethren were undergoing persecution and affliction. Paul told them about this is going to happen to you. Okay, so the Lord could help them to increase and to abound and to be established. So again, the point being, you know, Paul, he might think back there in chapter 3 and verse 5, when Paul said, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. You know, he was worried. He wanted to see them, so he sent Timothy. He couldn't come himself, but he sent Timothy. You know, he was worried, you know, the tempter, you know, what could have happened to these brethren? Maybe he might think back to, or maybe I won't say it that way, but we think back to brethren like in the book of Galatians. Here were brethren in the book of Galatians that did fall from the influence of false teaching. And so, we can fall. You know, here were Judaizing brethren in the book of Galatians that would, Paul would say in chapter 3 of the book of Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Paul didn't have that kind of burden to think about here with the Thessalonian brethren. Timothy brought back good news, and so they could be strengthened. They could stand. They could endure. Before we look at a couple of applications of this letter, this reading to our lives in regard to affliction, in regard to faith. Any comments or questions at this point? So again, Paul is he's desiring to see these brethren. Satan hinders him from going, so he sends Timothy. Timothy brings back good news that they're standing firm. They're not moved by these afflictions. And Paul is thankful to them, and he speaks about how that they could be established and built up, and that they can be saved. In regard to affliction, again, going back to the question I asked at the beginning of this, you know, we can look at what this says. Is this why did God preserve the book of 1 Thessalonians for us? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? One thing we can see is some things that we can learn about affliction. Affliction is inevitable. Trouble is inevitable. In chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Afflictions are inevitable. You know what people say, death and taxes are sure. Affliction for a Christian is inevitable. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 12, and I have the wrong reference at 2 Timothy, right? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul spoke in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So persecution is inevitable. We don't want to look at this as something strange. You know, when someone says something to us about our faith, this is what we were appointed to, Paul says. But we can overcome in spite of the afflictions that we face. Again, in chapter 2 and verse 19, and also chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, Paul was speaking of these brethren and hoping for their salvation. That shows they could, the afflictions wouldn't have to move them. They can be saved. And Paul was praying in verses 12 and 13 about how that God could help them to increase and abound and be established. Persecutions do not have to cause us to fall. Okay, Paul was one that never unpacked his suitcase. He was always ready to go. And so he was wanting to build up these brethren and sending others to them to build them up. And we'll talk more about that when we look at the idea of faith and how that we can help each other to grow and to be built up. Scott? Okay. Yes, that's a good point. And we see this displayed in the Apostle Paul as he wrote in chapter 1 about how that, you know, his great affection for them. He used some analogies like as being a father to them or as a mother. So he showed great affection for these brethren. He was concerned about their being tempted. He was praying for them. Yes, and he shows his great love for them. And like he was showed back in chapter 1, he worked night and day for them. So it was not something that, you know, it took a lot out of the Apostle Paul for these brethren. which is what we see in verse 10. Let's see. Yeah, verse 10. And night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. One thing, I had thought about looking at, and that is we can be pleasing to God, but yet still have room to grow. And so these brethren, he certainly speaks highly of them. They were pleasing to God, but they had room to grow. They could abound yet more. And so he wanted to help them along in that respect. On affliction, again, you know, we can overcome in spite of affliction. Thinking about, just to give an illustration, a marksman. You know, he sets his rifle, he has a target. Doesn't necessarily matter about the distance, about the wind. He takes those into consideration. He aims for the target in spite of the distance and the wind. I really like inspirational poetry, and I don't want to use it a lot because of the scriptures are what profits us into every good work. But I'd like to just mention something to help illustrate the point that I'm wanting to look at here. There was another brother used the same poem, portion of a poem when he was illustrating this passage. It was a part of a poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. One ship sails east and another west by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that tells the way we go. And so these brethren, they suffered a lot of gales, but they had their sights set on doing what was right and going to heaven. And Paul was helping them along that way. These brethren were staying the course through their afflictions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, again, Timothy was sent to see how they fared. He comes back to Paul. Now when Timotheus came from you unto us, brought us good tidings of your faith and love, and that you have good remembrance. So he brought tidings of their faith and love. They were going through persecutions, but they were standing fast. In verse 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. So when Paul heard of how well they were doing, he was comforted. And it says, we stand fast, or we live if you stand fast. They were standing fast. And as we see back in verse 3, these afflictions were not moving them. They had that possibility to move and to affect them and to turn them away from God. But these brethren were not moved by these afflictions. They stood firm. So we can overcome. What does this mean to us? You know, Brent, you don't know what I go through. Or I might say to you, you don't know what I go through. But we know what the Apostle Paul went through, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We see what these brethren went through, and they stood firm. They're an example of this. Another thing about affliction is that God is still in control. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, God allowed Satan to hinder Paul personally from coming to them at that point. But in chapter 3 and in chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, God allowed them to be persecuted, be afflicted. God allows temptation, but He's still in control. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, again, they could abound. They could be steadfast. They could be established. God allows temptation. God allows persecution. But one can come through it. One can be established. And the Apostle Paul, when we look at the application of faith, Paul was teaching these brethren. He was strengthening them. So why come to Bible study? Why meet with the saints? Why study our Bibles? So that we can face persecution just as they did, just as Paul wanted to do for them by teaching them the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, at the end of this book, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is in control, and He can strengthen us. He can help us. Just God let Paul come to them. God, the Apostle Paul himself, was comforted by their faith. And God can establish us and help us and comfort us. In Jude verse 24, Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. There's a lot of talk in the religious world about grace. Well, you know, people sin. Well, that's where grace comes in. And, you know, maybe grace washes over someone without them even knowing it. And all of this kinds of ideas of automatic forgiveness. Well, no, God can certainly keep us from falling, but He can lead others to us. He can strengthen us through His Word, and we can see that way of escape and take it. Titus chapter 2, the grace of God teaches us how to live. So I can study the Word of God, I can seek to do His will, and I can find. I can seek and find, and then know what God wants. I can be encouraged by brethren, I can encourage other brethren, and God can establish and strengthen us, and God can keep us from falling. In His Word, with brethren who are examples to us. So yes, we suffer affliction, but God is in control. He allows things to happen, but He can take care of us. You know, we might not understand, you know, why things happen to us. Someone says, well, you know, what's going on? Why am I going through these things? Doesn't God care? Doesn't God see? Can God not do anything? And so maybe someone might want to blame God and yet not realize, you know, God allowed Jesus to die. God allowed these brethren to suffer and to be persecuted. God knows what's going on. God allows what's going on. We don't ever need to forget that God is in control. If God is in control, let Him be in control. And understand that things happen for a reason. And we can make it through. These brethren are examples of Christians who made it through persecution, and we can too. Job had the attitude, an amazing attitude, in Job verse 13, chapter 13, verse 15. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job didn't realize, always know what was going on in his life. But he had the attitude, though He slay me, I'll trust Him. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to condemn God. Though He slay me, I will trust Him. So we may not always understand what's going on, but we do understand that God is in control and He can help us. He does care. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, I may just have to admit, I don't understand. I can't explain it. You know, God has reasons for what He does, and I don't know them, but I'm not going to blame God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God does see, He does care, and He will, as we strive and as we seek, He'll help us find. And we can be comforted by our other brethren. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. Satan's devices, his temptations can destroy us. But they don't have to. We don't have to let it. Just as these brethren did not let it. In James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1. And if anyone has a comment, just interrupt and get my attention. I may not see you, so you may have to speak. In James 1, verses 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God has a purpose in trial, and persecution, and temptation. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God does know what's going on in our lives, and He does care. In Luke chapter 8, about the parable of the sower, here were some who let the cares of the world choke out the word, that it didn't become fruitful. He let riches and things hinder them. Satan would come and take the word from their heart. But some, He says, kept the word with patience. They kept it with patience. And I think that's what we see with these brethren in Thessalonica. They were warned of persecution that was coming. It did happen to them, and they went through it, and we can get through it also. Yes. Yes, go ahead. That's fine. Just summarizing what you said, I won't do a very good job of it, I know, but we can overcome with God's help. We can find the way through prayer, through study, through just striving, seeking God. We can find what's that part of the serenity prayer, so to speak. God helping us to with the wisdom to know what we can and cannot change, and doing with it what we can, but knowing that God will help us. Another lesson I think we can see from the brethren at Thessalonica is their great faith, and how that we can strengthen each other's faith, and we can be strengthened by each other. Paul sought to strengthen the faith of others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul sent Timothy to establish them. He was concerned about these brethren. Just not going to leave them alone to fare for themselves. You know, he was, what's going on with these brethren? Did Satan get advantage of them? Well, I'll send Timothy to establish them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul wanted to perfect what was lacking. He saw deficiencies, or he saw needs there that he wanted to help. Jesus would tell Peter in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. So our faith, we want to do our part to help the faith of others. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. You flip over there. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. Paul himself was strengthened by the faith of others. In 3 John 3 and verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So John was comforted. He was uplifted by hearing about those that he would teach and how that they stood fast. And he had joy that they walked in truth. Paul feared the worst for these brethren at Thessalonica. Again, chapter 3 and verse 5, he knew what Satan was capable of doing. Looking again, making reference back to the book of Galatians, in Galatians 5, verse 7. Let's see. Galatians 5, verse 7. Thinking about the Galatian brethren who were troubled with the Judaizing teachers, he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Paul feared the worst for these brethren at Thessalonica. He knew what Satan was capable of doing. But the Thessalonians, when he heard about their faith and their love, they comforted Paul, even the Apostle Paul, in his afflictions. Well, no, Paul, he's the greatest. You know, he doesn't have any need, does he? No, the Apostle Paul was joyed, and he said, "We live if you stand fast." Paul was revived, and he lived. Thinking about that idea of the Apostle Paul being himself comforted and bolstered and encouraged by the faith of others, in Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs 25, verse 25, just a simple note of a verse there. Proverbs 25, 25. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Here Paul heard of the good news of these brethren from Timothy, and he was encouraged. Back in Genesis chapter 45, when Jacob had heard that Joseph, his son, yet lived, the spirit of their father revived. And I get that kind of picture, that elation, that encouragement in the Apostle Paul here in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7 and 8. "We were comforted over you in all our affliction, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." All right, folks, that is the lesson that I had for us this evening. Comments, questions? Okay. All right, and maybe just also making a further note about Jesus Himself. You know, we see these men and women, just like you and I here at Thessalonica, overcoming, being strengthened, and enduring. We see the men of faith, women of faith in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Himself. You know, Jesus suffered as we do. He felt the pain. He felt the trouble. And in John chapter... He's our example. John chapter 16, is it? John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So here's an example of Jesus, the example of the faithful in the book of Hebrews, the example of the church here at Thessalonica. We can overcome the world. We're not alone. God knows what's going on, and He can help us. And we can help each other. Thank you for your... Oh, go ahead. Okay, so we certainly see the Apostle Paul, his battery charged here with these brethren. Thank you. And really, that's another lesson we can see from this, isn't it? What, would that not be a lesson that we can gain from this, that we should be concerned with others and their faith? But since that's the bell, I'll let James talk more about that. I'll hand that question to him for Sunday. I'm just kidding. But you're welcome to speak more about that.